We invite into the seats a couple of guys. One is Reverend Dr. Al Culver. He is the special assistant to the president on interchurch relations. Would that be close, Al?
Director of church relations.
Director of church relations. And basically, he flies all over the globe and works with our partner churches and potential partner churches. And I think you have a special guest that I'd like you to introduce.
Well, I brought along Reverend Bernie Setter. He's the chairman of the Board for International Mission.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we have some really just exciting things about international missions here at this convention. And what in your mind is trending? What are you excited about? What's the Lord doing in this area that I think we can all rejoice and get behind and get built up and encouraged?
I'm excited about the different partners that want to work with us, that are, because of Al's work and other people's work, doing a great job out there. They see what we can offer in terms of confessional Lutheranism. They're excited about that. They want to be Lutheran. They want to do mercy. They want to preach the gospel. They're excited. And I see the resolutions that want to double the number of missionaries. I think that's exciting.
That's terrific.
I hope we can make it work, but those are just a couple of things.
You know, just among my friends in Michigan, and I'm so proud of these guys, you know, one of them, a good friend over in Marshall, Michigan, that's now going to Sri Lanka, and he touched another brother where John Vigor used to serve there in suburban Detroit, and now he's going to Indonesia. It's like contagious. It's starting to get very contagious, and the sacrifice that these guys and their families are making, but they're all excited about it. And so when I hear that, it gets me excited to not only promote them, that they might be blessed in this and serve, you know, without a lot of worry about earthly cares, but it also has excited me personally to support them myself with my own small contributions. And how neat is that, you two, that God is lifting up a bunch of men and women to go and do this thing on the Lord's behalf throughout the world of confessional Lutherans?
Well, I think it's marvelous, and we, like you say, we're seeing it more and more. It is contagious. Once you see the outpouring of people's care and love, the need for missionaries, it is contagious.
And when you start talking about the need for missionaries, in my job, I get to travel and meet the bishops and presidents of partner churches, and frequently they'll tell us what great needs that they have. And so this past year I was in Papua New Guinea, and they're telling me, we really need some people to teach. We need some people here at our seminary in Birup. And I listened to this, I just felt totally overwhelmed. I know you have this need, but I just don't see it being fulfilled. And then you see how the Lord fulfills the prayer of the church to send laborers to the harvest. And now we have three people going to Papua New Guinea. A similar circumstance that happened was in Ethiopia, the Makani Yesus, in January, February, they broke fellowship with the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and the Church of Sweden over their position on homosexuality. And in May, the Makani Yesus came to us and said, we really could use you to send a theological educator to be the dean of our seminary. And we need them by June or July. And I just thought, well, what a tremendous opportunity, but this is absolutely impossible to do. There's no way we can find a qualified individual who could be a dean, and yet the Lord provided a person, and we have him on the ground right now.
Carl Rockward, his wonderful wife, Debbie. Wow, what a team. So it sounds like, Al, that the Lord is just not only giving us these opportunities, you know, cracking these doors, but he's also opening them up and running through them with just filling great needs that we weren't even aware of.
Well, he tells us to pray to send laborers, and the Lord actually fulfills and delivers what he promises to do.
Wow. For both of you, it's a glorious thing, too, as we look through these resolutions about these church bodies coming into fellowship with us as partner churches. Can you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, we have three resolutions that address partnership issues with the Missouri Synod. One of them is the result of a long-standing missionary work that began in the 1980s, and that would be the Church of Togo. The Missouri Synod began mission work there. It's really not correct to say they're entering into fellowship. They already are in fellowship. They are what we would call a sister church. That is, our missionaries started it. They have the same doctrine and practice. And specifically in the bylaw, we are recognizing at their request that they are an independent, self-sufficient church. And so it's not as much a matter of entering fellowship as it's the celebration of an independent church that began as the result of our mission effort. So that's Togo.
That's Togo. And you say two others?
We are entering fellowship with the Siberian Evangelical Lutheran Church, and this was the result of hard efforts of the Russian project that came out of Concordia Theological Seminary. And this is invoking the new bylaw where the president can declare fellowship, which that already occurred, and now the convention has to ratify it. And slightly different is the fellowship with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Liberia. And that is probably the purest form of the new bylaw, where here was a church that actually began because our missionaries were in surrounding countries. There was a civil war that drove people out of Liberia. Now, we did go to Liberia in the 70s before the Civil War, Lutheran Bible translators, so the ground was being prepared. But the Civil War forced these people into countries where the LCMS was working. People were trained as pastors, and they returned to Liberia. And now, after the Civil War has ended, a church body is formed, and they want to have fellowship with the Missouri Synod.
Seems like the Lord knows what he's doing better than we in the timing. Would you say that, Bernie?
Well, sometimes you hear about, you know, I think that these exaggerations that we make sometimes when we're, like at a convention. But this is a moment for world Lutheranism. President Herod says it all the time. Al says it all the time. He's absolutely right. It's like nothing I've ever seen before, and I've been trying to study it. I mean, there's a few more that are asking for fellowship. They just don't know quite how to go about it yet.
Right.
And so it's tremendous.
I know when we had that marvelous conference down there in Atlanta, just person after person that I talked to and said, hey, what is this conference meant to you so far? They were all saying, we want the teaching, the doctrine that you guys have, and we want you to share it with us and teach it, as you guys were saying, and as Pastor Harrison calls it, the tectonic shift.
Yep.
And it really is, isn't it?
It is huge, and we're primarily seeing this in the global south. Western Europe is facing many challenges, and I think America is a little bit further behind. I just read an article this morning, actually, that said it's not that Christianity has died in Europe. Those predictions have been going back, Nietzsche and others, I mean, for hundreds of years. But what has died in Western Europe is a Christian culture. And that Christian culture largely shaped many things that happened in Europe. And now that that is fading away, of course there's still the church. There's still true Christians, but the culture itself is more hostile to the church. And I believe we're beginning to see the start of that in America. And this is why the Lutheran Church and the Global South is going to be so important to us. Because in the future, they will be encouraging us. They already pray for us, and they'll be sending missionaries to us.
Wow, so they see that we're kind of on that stage that maybe Europe was with America, and now it's being shifted to somewhere else. So, Bernie, so you travel around and talk to a lot of people, see a lot of things. What surprised you maybe the most about all that tectonic shift that you've observed?
One
so
of the
far.
Things I noticed back here at home is that the shift with so many of our folks in the pew, very interested not only in missionaries and sending missionaries, but also in mercy work, hands-on mercy work. They want to be a part of this. It's something that it strikes them in the heart. And when you realize what Christ has done for you, he served you, he's mercy incarnate, they want to do mercy. And so that's the other thing that's shoving into this kind of immersion of things coming along here that's, I think, is really fascinating.
And mercy tied to the life of the body in a congregation, in a church, not just mercy and then down the road hope that the Spirit does something. It's always tied to the gospel of Jesus and getting them into that.
Asking to work with the partner church,
and
right?
I think you're right that so many of the people that I've been around too, that's where they're at. They're really buying in wholeheartedly to witness Mercy Life together.
And Bernie, prior to being the chairman of the Board for International Mission, was the chairman for the Board for Human Care.
Wow. So you've been on both sides of that
now. It's been quite a ride. I like to say, I was there at the beginning of the, what I call the Mercy Revolution, I think. I'm serious about that. I think it was a Mercy Revolution in our church.
Oh, I amen that wholeheartedly because, you know, I started this second career in the late 90s, and that's about when it was hitting. And people in my parish, that's where they were all into.
Yeah.
They wanted something. It was almost like they wanted something, and they didn't see it, but when they saw it, they just went berserko.
The gospel motivates us to do something, and we just need to be helped to figure out what it is.
Yeah, and that's so much fun, as you two know, to share with them what the opportunities are, and then the Spirit just like multiplies that and increases it. And we hear that people just going by here at the convention talking to us about how excited they are with this project or that project. And, you know, I've kind of gotten into really human trafficking and the malaria initiative. And more than that, there's just so many wonderful things out there. And then you hear what our mission teams are doing around the globe. And I'm sure you guys see even more opportunities and requests than what the rest of us do, and how the Lord's going to start to put all those together.
Well, you know, back in the human care days when Bernie and I would go to Haiti or someplace in Africa together, and we'd see this overwhelming need, people would say, well, how do you deal with this situation personally when there's so much need and you can only help so few? And what I've really come to realize, not only in terms of mercy, but now that we have all these different churches asking for fellowship with the Missouri Synod and for help from the Missouri Synod in terms of teaching doctrine and practice, the Lord provides more opportunities than we can do individually, more than we can do as a congregation, more than we can do as a district, and more than we can do as a synod. And I'm convinced part of that is to keep our focus on Jesus and the gospel alone, lest we think we can actually accomplish the mission ourselves. He provides more opportunities than we can do so that we'll pray to Him to give us the strength and the resources to accomplish what He's setting before us.
Well said. Hey, Bernie, let's say you're a Christian out there, a pastor, a lay person, and you're listening to all this and saying, boy, I want to get my congregation, my organization, really into mercy work and into supporting this tectonic shift in missions. Where would you suggest they go to start?
I'd like to say go to the district president, but I think, you know, call the office, call the Office of International Missions, call Al's office, and they can always give you a rundown of where things are needed the most. Right now, I think we just need unrestricted funds too. That helps, because that's important too.
That's a good point, isn't it?
And we forget about
not
that
to be
part.
Limited, just to put it in the big pool and then let the Spirit, because we do need that, don't we?
Exactly. I mean, it's unrestricted funds right now is kind of an issue, and I think it's important for people to just once in a while send a check-in that says we're needed most.
I'm glad you said that, because too many times, you know, we're in our world, it's of consumerism, it's like, give me the choices. But, you know, we've seen such great examples of the Spirit working in mysterious ways. And if people would just do that, say, we're going to give and let the Lord move this to where He wants to move it. And it seemed to be in the old days, the Lord did so good with that. I don't know where we went astray. But I like the resolve and the courage you came out with that, Bernie, to say it again, because I think we need to hear that repeatedly.
Well, and it is important because there's so many facets to all that we do. I mean, there's support. It's like the army, you know, 10% of the people are on the battlefield and the 90% are on the back working on it. So, and that individual missionary support's important too.
Sure, sure. Al, anything on that that you can think of?
Well, I think some of the convention resolutions are trying to bring before the Synod and encourage a global theological education, which is very important, and I think we'll hear from Archbishop Ekong and Rector Alexei Streltsov about how important these programs are for their church and for World Lutheranism. We'll hear a plea to the Synod to send missionaries. And you know what happens when you start praying that the Lord send laborers into the harvest? Sometimes he sends you. And I think we need to be very clear about what the proper vocations are. We're not, sometimes people when they hear missionary think we're only talking about pastors. And it's very important to have pastors, of course, on the mission field, but we also need all sorts of good Christian lay people to be on the mission field. We need doctors and nurses and healthcare workers and human
mercy
care
specialists.
Workers.
Like I just met a couple from Peru doing great stuff down there, and I'm so excited that I'm going to team up with them personally because I was so into their story. And so we have all kinds of those places for non-ordained people to serve their Lord in amazing, powerful ways, don't we, Bernie?
Exactly. Yes, and you see it with our LWMLs, how anxious they are to help and be an aid to missionaries. They're always asking, what can we do? What are some of the programs? So there's all kinds of ways out there to get it done.
Sure.
And
sure.
I think the Missouri Synod has always understood this, and this fits in with Witness Mercy Life Together. If you look at our oldest mission starts, India, Papua New Guinea, Nigeria, oftentimes a pastor would be the first person sent, and within a couple months, he's writing St. Louis and saying, hey, I need a doctor, I need a nurse, I need a builder, I need a furniture. In Papua New Guinea, they built an entire city, practically, with furniture makers and a dam. And so, and sometimes it starts a different way. Sometimes someone goes in to do human care work, and they provide literally human care and relief work, and then they say, hey, we need a pastor here to provide spiritual care to complement what we're doing. So it works both ways.
Yeah. And, you know, the Lord of the Harvest, he has amazing resources sometimes, as you pointed out, we're not even aware of. And the people that are those resources aren't aware of it until the Lord kind of puts it together, and away he goes in doing just great things. So, you know, in this tectonic shift that we're hearing about, maybe the what's going to start coming now is these individuals that are going to be giving their unrestricted funds and look at giving some of their lifetime and their skill set to be part of this shift.
You know, and I've heard that from several individuals, you know, in different places I go where there's, you know, we're about to retire, we're thinking maybe we should just go off and go somewhere we've never been before and do what we can for the kingdom. And I think that's a great idea. And I hear a lot of that.
That is truly amazing. And something for the church, I think, to be so grateful and blessed by the Lord. And you know, it seems like that's just a synergistic snowball heading down the right side of the hill. And we thank you guys for pushing and being a part of that and keeping us plugged in on and all that he's doing, and so that more and more of us might get you know, into this tectonic shift ourselves. So thanks for being our guest. Thanks for all your great efforts. And when you get some new stuff, we'd always have you come on the Worldwide KFUO and share what you see the Spirit doing out there.
Well, thanks, Rod.
Reverend Dr. Al Culver, the Executive Director of
Church
Relations around the globe, and Pastor Bernie, is it
Setter.
Setter, yeah. The Board of International Missions Chair. Bernie, thanks for being our guest. Blessings on the rest of your convention, and maybe later in the convention, if you want to stop by again and tell us what you think of the resolutions and all that, we'd love to hear it.
All right. Thank
God
you for having
you.
Me. God
thanks
bless
for
you.
Having us.